Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
I am in a great mood today, and then, you know, in the art of clapping, I just thank you, Weldon, Ferguson, Sunset Hills, Earth City, Online, all of our campuses today, RPC. The worship here is absolutely like an album. Let's give it up for all the people that got here at the crack of dawn. Come on now, let us in worship. Phenomenal. You know, something really cool is coming up at Faith Church on July 30th. We're doing baptisms. Baptisms is your... It's almost like a wedding ceremony. In other words, you don't want to get, how many of y'all girls, you don't want to get married alone. You want to Instagram about it. You want everybody to see it. Come on, raise your little single hand up so a guy might see you and go, oh, I'm her Boaz. So that, by the way, that's a guy in the Bible, all right? So, but on the 30th, we're doing this. And what we've always seen, the 30th and 31st is Saturday and Sunday at all campuses, you will get baptized. So when you receive Jesus, you receive him in your heart, but the outward sign, and Jesus himself did this, he was baptized and immersed in water. And so we go down, we're identifying with his death, and then when we come up, we're identifying with his resurrection. And so that's coming up on the 30th and 31st, and really what's important is that you also tell your friends to be there, because this is a great opportunity to get your friends there. How many of y'all know your friends need it? Raise your hand if you're like, man, I know some people today that need this. And so when they come, you know, they won't come to church, but they'll come to see you in your ceremony. And then after that, hopefully they'll come to church and get their life changed. So anyway, I'm in a great mood. How many of y'all got time for a joke today at our campuses? Come on. I want to need more than that. I'm going to need, you know, comedian. Try to be funny, you know, at a comedy club. I think it'd be neat to be a comedian because at nighttime, you're hilarious because everybody's drunk and it's midnight and they've been drinking for a while. To be funny on a Sunday morning early, you better be funny. Come on, somebody. So this isn't that funny, but in fact, I want to preface it by saying this is just a joke, so don't get offended. My daughter's blonde and my daughter-in-law's blonde, so it takes a lot of bravery to tell this joke. The other reason I know this joke is good is Joel Osteen told me this joke, so I know it's safe, so... Amen. Come on. I like to get started with something funny. So this guy, he goes into a restaurant. It's really dark, sitting at the bar, orders his food. He looks over at this girl and he says, hey, mind if I tell you, you know, a blonde joke? And she said, well, I know it's dark in here, but just for the record, I'm 6'3", and I'm blonde, and I'm a professional bodybuilder. So my friend here, she's 6'4". She's the international kickboxing champion. She's, and the girl next to... This girl right here is a professional wrestler, and, you know, she's 6'5". With that in mind, do you want to tell this joke? And he said, not if I got to explain it three times. Come on, somebody. All right, you didn't like that one. I'll tell you one more. All right, one more. I don't even know this joke this well, but so this archaeologist in New York, he starts digging. They start digging down, and 20 feet down, they find all this copper. And so they said, my gosh, New York, we're so smart. We had, you know, communication systems apparently, you know, 100 years ago. So not to be outdone, California said, we're going to dig down. So they dug down 45 feet, and they found copper. And they said, man, apparently we're smarter than the New Yorkers. We figured out communication like maybe 400 years ago. So this good old boy from Missouri, come on somebody, went out to his farm. He started digging. He dug down with his trackhoe 60 feet. He found nothing. And he said, you know what? We're so smart in Missouri that we went wireless 500 years ago. Come on, give it up for Jesus today. All right, that's it. I'll give you what you came for. I want to talk today about never waste a hurt. Have you ever been hurt? Divorced, betrayed, got a diagnosis, and my gosh. But how do you not waste the hurt? How do you actually cause this valley that you might be in to be a testimony to not only you, but other people? I remember when I went through the death of my father, we were extremely close. He lived in Eureka, Missouri, for you Missouri people, and I lived just a few blocks from him, and we saw each other every day. There really wasn't a day that we didn't talk. And then I found out that he had cancer, and with about 6 weeks or so, Ashton was just born, and then all of a sudden, he passes away. And it really hurt. Anybody ever lost a loved one? Raise your hand. All campuses today. So you know what it feels like. You're like, man, I can't look at a picture. If you smell something, like you're like, oh my gosh, it's them. And so I'm going through all this pain and all this hurt. And it was serious. But God began to show me that, hey, heaven's real, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And even though it was a hardship and it was very painful, I actually took the hurt and I put it on display. Then it wasn't long after that that my dad died. We had this church in Fenton, Missouri, and it had about 180 people, and everybody loved everybody. Everybody had ever been to a church where everybody knew everybody, and everybody grew up with everybody. So everybody married everybody, and their kids were like, right? And so that was our church. Great people, love them, but anyway, some of those people are still with us. Sorry about that. I was trying to be funny, and didn't mean that stuff about your kid. I didn't mean it. So I'm going through that, and then after about a year, I realized that God had a call on my life and that I could not waste the hurt, but I could use the hurt, and so I started talking about my divorce. Anybody in here ever known anybody that had divorce? Raise your hand. 50% of all marriages end in divorce. In fact, all divorces are caused by marriage. I told you, I messed up today. I'm excited. I'm going back to St. Louis. I heard it's 104 degrees. Trying to be happy about it. So divorce now, I take the divorce and God tells me, he says, hey, I want you to go on television. In other words, the pain that you're going through right now is really, if you're not careful, you'll focus on what you're going through instead of what you're focused on going to. So when I was going through the loss of my dad, or I was going through the loss and the divorce, I was so messed up. I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without God. Turn the radio station. Baby, come back. You can blame it all on me, right? So you got all the pain, all the heartache, all the hell. At the time, I couldn't see that God was saying, hey, I didn't cause the hurt. You married her, and my dad actually told me not to marry her. And other people told me not to marry her. But I was in puppy love. Anybody ever heard of that? Puppy love leads to a dog's life, okay? And but she was 18. I was 18. We thought we knew everything. We knew nothing. But we did know a song. I want to know what love is. And then, bam, 8 years later, we're divorced. So what God instructed me to do is say, hey, you know what? These 180 people, let's see if we could all collectively get together and go on television on ABC in St. Louis, and we would take this hurt and not waste it. And so the first sermon I ever preached on television is I put it, our stage wasn't very, very big. It's about this height. And I put a trampoline at the edge of the stage, and I was jumping on the trampoline, talking about bouncing back from betrayal. And I talked about my dad. I talked about the divorce. And everybody thought, who is this guy, not just preaching a sermon or reading a scripture, all that, albeit good, the real life application that I could take this stuff that I'm hearing on a Sunday and I could apply it on a Monday. So the church starts growing at 13% a week. That means that every Sunday we had to put out 13% more chairs than we did the previous week until you had one service, two service, three service, and then seven services and eight services. By the end of Sunday night, I was like, I don't even know who I am. But my point is that God said, I'm not going to waste the hurt. I'm going to use the hurt. You went through the valley, but you're coming back on the mountaintop. If you can manage the pain and the hassle and the genuine hardship, God is going to use, come on somebody, use what the devil meant for evil and turn it for good. Somebody ought to give God praise today. Come on, Sunset. He's going to turn it, right? That's what happened to Joseph. He's going through a valley. He's got these dreams, aspiration, I want to be great. Then he gets hurt by his brothers, thrown into a pit, came back, and they're like, oh my gosh, he came back. They love me. And they said, no, we got a better idea. We got the thing, and we could sell you. And they sold him as a slave. Then now he's at Potiphar's house, and he's ripped, and he's good looking, and he looks a lot like some of you that I'm looking at today. Not all of you, but some of you. And now he's accused of sexual harassment. The king's wife wants him rips his clothes off, and then he doesn't do it because he's integral, and now he's in this hurtful situation where he's going to go to prison for something that he didn't do. Some of you have been lied on, maligned, betrayed. There's a Google search about you, and you're like, wait a minute, that's not true. This is true, but nobody wants to hear it. But guess what? God never wastes a hurt. He's going to bring you up out of the valley, put you back on the mount. Somebody ought to help me today, because God does not waste a hurt. Give it praise right now in the house today. Come on, Weldon. Alone, dude. It didn't happen to you, Edmel Latt said. It happened for you. God didn't cause it. Every good gift and perfect gift, church, comes from God. So if it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. Let's all shout that. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. One more time, it feels good. If it's good... Now, for all the Catholics in St. Louis, if it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. So God can bring good things out of bad times. I'll say it again. God can bring good things out of bad times. So when I was getting divorced and I thought it was over and I'd never be happy again, I didn't see Nicole and her long legs and her 7-year-old son and her money and all of her hotness. If I'd have seen that, I would have helped the girl pack her bags. But you can't see. The Bible says we see through a glass darkly. I'm here to tell you that what God has for you over there, if you'll let go of what's going on right here, God will turn it for your good. I don't feel like everybody's getting it, but I think a couple of people might be saying, he's talking to me this morning. I feel like he's walking down my street. How did he know? Valleys happen. Psalms 23, you know this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's what David is. You're so smart. You got it, guys. That's the key, is you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but the key is, with revelation like this, you go to church, you get in the growth track, you need to do that today. You connect with God, connect with people, discover your purpose, then you make that difference. Then when you're going through a valley, you go, oh, I'm just going through. I'm going through hell. Well, when you're going through hell, don't stop. If you catch hell, don't hold it. Let it go and say, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but I have a revelation, I will fear no evil. See, David knew that valleys were something to go through, but he also knew it was something to grow through. So you gotta go through it perhaps, but you need to grow through it. And our biggest problem is not the hurtful situation, it's rather how we see the situation. It's perception or deception. So the perception and deception will get you, because when I was in the divorce, I thought, my gosh, why is it? I'm the only one. I remember my dad died at 56. Y'all, I'm 53. I could do 3 more years. This is how he was. Now, I took a different path. I decided to eat different. I changed the way I thought. I changed the way I spoke, because I wanted to be here long enough to where my friends in heaven thought I went to hell. So I'm not getting what my biological dad got. I'm getting what my heavenly Father got, and he said, with long life, he would satisfy me. He would satisfy me. So when you go to worship time and you come to church, you sing those things. And then we realize that this is a deception. We're perceiving it wrongly. God didn't cause it, because here's what most people do. Look at me, listen intently. You know you're bad because you did bad. You're in church, don't lie about this. How many of you have done bad even this week? Raise your hand. I'm gonna give you another chance not to go to hell. Let's try this again. Come on, Ferguson. Come on, everybody. Look at your neighbor and say, thank you for being honest. I knew you were bad. Some of you are looking like, yeah, I'm bad, like the Michael Jackson, like, I'm bad. But. So we're bad, so we don't think that it should be unusual for us to experience this valley or this trouble or this trial because we're bad. But you got to get a hold of God's grace, that he does not put you through those valleys. God is with you in the valley. That's why he said, I'm in the valley, but I fear, I'm in the shadow of death. Notice there wasn't even a real death. It was just the shadow. Nobody's ever been shot by the shadow of a gun. Nobody's ever been hit by the shadow of a car. Nobody's been in a crash of the shadow of a plane. In fact, the shadow only exists because the light is there. There are no shadows without light, and Jesus is the light of the world, and it proves that he was there for you to even have a shadow. Come on, somebody. God was with you the whole time. He knew you shouldn't have married him, but you did, and God said, gonna work it out. He knew that the cancer was coming, but he said, you know what? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their transgressions. Isaiah 53:5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. Oh, I know when we get to heaven. No, this isn't a heaven scripture. This is a right now scripture. Jesus wants you to live in heaven on earth, even if you're walking through the valley. Who am I talking to today? Think about this. Remember Moses? Remember the movie about Moses? And Moses came down to the Red Sea. Remember this right here? In the Red Sea, there's these Egyptians are chasing them, and they are catching all kinds of trouble. They're coming at them with spears and knives. And Moses is on the run, but he's not really running from them. He's running to him. So while he's running, he runs into what most people would have went, there's a huge river. But instead, the Bible says he stretches out his rod, which is a representation of the rod. The Bible said that thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's the word of God. So he stretches out his rod, and all of a sudden now the water parts, and it says, check this out, they walked across on dry land. See, that's a miracle in and of itself. It'd be one thing if the water parted and they're going through the muck and the mud, but it says it was dry. We got a little pond in Missouri. And at our house, and so it had some leaks and stuff, and so the guy told me, he said, it's got some leaks in it. We just need to drain the pond, start over, and get rid of all the whatever's in there and put in clay. So they started digging, and when they started digging in the pond recently, about 2 months ago, he just had just, he said, hey, it's gonna cost you more than I thought, which y'all know that, that's a contractor. That's called a con with a tractor. But it was true. There was all this muck, and so they're hauling all this muck. And so he put a bunch of it just to dry it out on the side. Funny story. Put it over there. And so Nicole came to see me. She had her coffee, and she had her cute little shoes on, and she starts running to me. And she doesn't know that that is not solid ground. That is muck from the pond. And all of a sudden, honest to God, if you follow her on Instagram, which you should, she just went zonk and just sunk all the way to her knees, to which I thought, I'm going to be her hero right now. We don't need another hero. And I start running, and I'm like 5 feet from her. Now we're both stuck like a couple of more. By the way, these are the people that are leading your lives right now. Both of us are up to here. Coffee, not spilt. Trying to reach for it. That really happened. She tries to pull up her shoe, and she's stuck. They're gone. We've never seen them again because they just hauled it. Those are gone. So my point is that this was a mighty miracle. They're in a valley, they're in a trouble, it looks like they're hurt, but in the middle of it, God not only opens up the water, he causes them to walk across on dry ground. Now it gets better. If you call now, it gets better. Soon as all the things that were chasing them, doubt, fear, lack, anxiety, molestation, addiction. As soon as all that got in the middle of the river, God went, whoonk. Mo's on the other side going, he had been running, right? He gets over to the other side. He looks at the guys. He sees them coming. He's like, oh my gosh, it's clear for them too. He's breathing. He's going, And then all of a sudden, those the enemies, the thing that was chasing him now, God immediately destroys it. And now he got a pimp walk. He's like, I knew God had that the whole time. Don't call me Moses, call me Mo, right? And so he's more money, more favor, more breakthrough, because he didn't stop running. We walk by faith and not by sight. When you're going through hell, don't stop. If you're in the valley, sure there's a valley. There's got to be a valley between the mountaintop and the other mountaintop. So if you're in the valley right now, no, that's good news, because the only way up from there is up. So keep on going to church. Keep on praying. I don't care if gas is $20 a gallon, costs $200 to fill up your moped. Keep driving. Come on, somebody ought to take about 10 seconds to praise him. We're having church today. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't like his jokes, but I like his preaching. Matthew 4. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit. Notice the capital S, that means Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit to be tempted of the devil. After 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, he was hungry. How many of y'all would even be hangry? And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, if, he's always saying, you know, if, what do you mean if you're the Son of God? Of course he is, but he tried to even convince Jesus, if you are the Son of God, then you'll command these stones to be put into bread. And Jesus doesn't waste the hurt. He says, for it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Because he knew how to answer the devil. If you don't know how to answer the devil, you just start talking with him. That's what Eve did. So you start talking to the devil. Well, maybe I should just settle for that guy because God ain't never sent me a real man right now. So I'm going to settle for him. My biological clock is ticking. I want to have children. What am I going to do? I'm 19 years old. Then the devil took him up to the holy city, verse 5, and took him on the highest point. Notice Jesus is in a valley, but he takes him to a high point of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, questioning again, because that's what he does. He said, then throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. Notice that the devil knew the Bible. You can stop right there and just preach. I can preach for an hour right there. The devil knows the Bible more than most of you know the Bible. I try to ask you a question about the Bible. You can't do that, but you can tell me exactly what is on the radio today. You can tell me exactly what the sports players, what their wins are, what their losses are, what their batting averages are, and that ain't going to do you no good when all hell breaks out because your wife ain't going to want to know nothing about the batting average of the other team. In fact, she's just aggravated right now that you love anything that is a ball more than her anyway. Baseball, basketball, golf, you're just chasing balls, pool balls, bowling balls, just ball. But when you go to church and you hear the word of God and the enemy comes to you and you're a man of God, then you'll be able to spit the word out and say, yeah, I was going to do that, but something rose up on the inside of me and the Holy Ghost started moving on the inside of me and then the word answered. And so the enemy tried to tell me that he'll put me on this high mountaintop because I was in a valley. How's it look in real life? Well, if you work on Sunday and you don't go to church and you really suck up to the boss, you do everything, then I'll give you this. If you compromise and you steal and you cheat and you lie, then I'll do this. Well, the only way you can really be successful, Pastor, you don't understand. I live in the real world. And so when I go golfing with the guys and I go out, you know, all the deals happen on the golf course. Yeah, yeah. And so I just, you know, they're drinking, so I need to drink and I need to do this. And they tell jokes and I tell jokes because I want to be like them. You know what's really interesting is we're raising up some people at our church. Well, some of the most successful business people in St. Louis. I just had a little hot dog party the other night with some people at my house. And I mean, this guy's iconic rich and a big business guy in St. Louis. And he was sitting next to me at a little bonfire. And he said, hey, Pastor David, I just got him saved not long ago. He said, you know, I haven't drank in 3 months. And all of his friends drink. By the way, this is not I'm not a hater of drinking. I'm just saying sometimes when people drink and they get drunk where it is access, they do stupid stuff. In fact, some of you wouldn't even be here right now if your dad had not. That's a whole nother subject right there. So you got to be careful. But here's my point in that. When he got saved recently, he started realizing, I'm drinking too much. I'm abusing alcohol. I'm not in control anymore. And he had the fortitude to stand up to all of his friends and say, I'm still successful. I don't have to go down here because I know who I am. Now, it's hard to do when you don't have any money yet because you might not know who you are. But I'm glad you came to church today because I want to tell you are. You're blessed. You're favored. You're a son and daughter of the Most High God. Your past is over and your future is really looking bright. So yeah, God might want to give you a Lambo, but right now you're driving a Bobo minivan held together with Army green tape and baling wire. But I'm here to tell you that that's just the valley that you're going through. Don't focus on what you're going through. God is not going to waste this hate. Focus on what you're going to. The devil meant it to harm you, but God's going to turn it for your good. You need to stand up and say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know what we're going to do? We're not going to be drinking and cussing and partying and acting like the world. We're going to go to church and we're going to grow in church. I give you 10 seconds to praise him like you want to praise him. Yeah, 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 yeah. I can feel her city in Ferguson in here right now. was at our city, somebody had already run. They'd be like, I gotta run. It's always funny to watch people go. And I don't even really like it, but I just go, she needed that. Verse 8. Again, the devil. Notice the devil is persistent. Again. Everybody shout, again. Again. Come on, all campuses, loud. Shout it. What? Again? The devil took him up to a high mountain. He's in a valley. Takes him to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the splendor, and said, I'll give you all this if you'll bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, hey, I'm not going to waste a hurt right now. Away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord thy God and serve him only. I love verse 11. Let's all read it together. Then the devil left. But Jesus said, away from me, Satan. Bunch of exclamation points. He didn't say, Satan, just go. Just, you know, you just keep doing this. This is what you do. I told you not to call me no more. Okay. I said we weren't going to go out no more. But Pastor, he just keeps calling me. Hey. Nicole, when I first went on a date with Nicole, I'd only dated her a couple times. We were not exclusive. Nothing was going on, but she asked to use my car for something. And it was back in the day when they had a car phone. Anybody remember you didn't have a cell phone where you kept it in your pocket? You had a car phone. Raise your hand. And you had a beeper. Anybody know what I'm talking about right now? You had a beeper. And if your beeper went off and they put 911, it means call right now. Uh-huh. And so Nicole's driving down the road, and I wasn't a pastor at the time. We were just kind of dating, and I was dating this other girl. And in fact, I when I started dating Nicole, I realized, oh, man, I like her. But the girl had called me because I had called in a couple days, and she called, and Nicole was in the car. And when the phone rang, Nicole picked it up, and the girl said, it's hi, it's me. And Nicole said, who's me? She said, oh, and the girl explained to her who she was, legitimately. And Nicole said, hey, here's the new deal. Don't call him back. He's my man. We dating now. Hung up on him. Called Pastor Omar, God rest his soul, and told Omar, the only employee that I had, Pastor David, he's got a new phone. Well, I wasn't pastor back then, but she said, I need him. Is his phone corporate? Yeah. Okay, so you need to change that phone number, get a new number. Then I got a beep, and my beep said that my number had been changed. I said, why my number changed? She said, oh, Jamila called, and she won't be calling you no more. And I said, what? She said, yeah, you my man. 25 years later, I'm like, but I'm saying that's the way you deal with stuff. Not like, oh, the devil, he might call back. She might not call back. I don't want to cheat on Nicole because I don't want to die. I'm here to tell you, you got to be that way with the devil. You need to say what Jesus said. Go away from me, Satan. You're not taking my marriage. You're not taking my money. You're not taking my mind. You're not taking my dream. I may be hurting, but I'm coming back. What the devil meant for evil, God's going to turn it around for my good. I'm going to shout. I'm going to praise. I'm going to give God glory. I'm not going to die in this valley of dry bones. I'm going to prophesy on these bones. Live, live, live. Somebody ought to act like Jesus is real today. Do that again, Jeep. I like that. Do it one more time, Jeep. I like that. Come on, give me one more time with that right there. Oh, when I go back to St. Louis Tuesday night, I'm going to miss you, Jeep. I wish I could pipe you in. See, sometimes you just got to get up and turn on some music and just start walking around in the house. Can't move your hips real good. And then you just start shouting and say, oh, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. There's going to be some singing and dancing and victory. I like our church. I do. I like a church with some hot sauce. Can you say, I like a church with the... Ah! Ah! I don't want to go to a church with a bunch of blue-haired guys with suits on going, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, coming in rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Turn to page 99. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Now, I want to be like, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Sing it.
What a day of rejoicing there will be. So when we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout victory.
Somebody ought to praise him right now. I tell you, something's happening. Something's breaking. Something's moving. I feel it happening every campus. What in the world am I supposed to do now? I'm 1 minute and 12 seconds over my time. I like it. I like what I'm feeling. I feel it. I feel something happening. I promise you, you ought to praise God. Don't wait for me to tell you what to tell him. Kiss her. Get your neighbor and say, yeah, baby. I taught my grandson that this week. I said, yeah, baby. I was working out this morning in my gym, and he's in there trying to lift weights with me. He's got a little weight set, and he's over there working out. He said, all done. He does sign language, too. He goes, all done. Please. All done. He looked at it and said, all done. He dropped the weight and said, yeah, baby. Come on, shout it. Yeah, baby. I'm here to tell you what, the devil thought he had you. You drug in hurt, walked out healed. Limped in struggling, leaping out blessed. The anointing destroys the yoke of the devil. May I tell you today that you won't ever be the same? Royal Palm, Ferguson, Earth City, Sunset Hills, online, in the metaverse. People in the metaverse bouncing around right now, hitting stuff. You gotta be careful shouting in a simulated world if you still got a real coffee table. Sometimes, by the way, you gotta close your eyes and you gotta say, I can't see out here, because when I see out here, it looks like it doesn't look good. So, but when I close my eyes, I see better and I see myself walking in victory. I see myself walking up out of the valley of the shadow of death. I see myself on top of the world going, oh man, I'm right in the middle of 5 years of grace and favor. No wonder the devil tried to just grab me and hold me back and keep me back, because he knew if I could get up here, I could see the promised land. Look at your neighbor again and say, yeah, baby, you got this. You got this. I feel like that I want to pray for you. Raise your hand today at all campuses if you feel like something happened on the inside of you. Raise your hand right now. If you don't feel something right now, your wood's wet. I mean, something's wrong with you. Everybody stand up with me, and I want to pray, and I want to tell you that, first of all, a church alive is worth the drive. There's something about being online that it's great if it's your only option, but if there's any way you can, like, get on a bus, get on a train, call a Uber, steal a car, you got to get to church. When you get to church, I think at every campus, how many of y'all feel good about your decision to go to church today? Raise your hand. Look at your good looking neighbor and say, you're better looking now than you were earlier. That's biblical, by the way. The Bible said he'll beautify the meek with salvation. You ought to just go for the free Botox. He'll lift you up. He said he's the glory and the lifter of your head. You ought to walk around just, and people ask, what's your deal? People, nobody's doing that, to walk around with a mask, shame. But if you just walked in 7-Eleven getting your Slurpee going, say, did you just win the lotto? Yes, I did. Well, I won big. How much you win? The whole world. Explain to me what I'm trying to tell you right now is Jesus is on the inside of me, and I realize that my Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he's got the whole world in his hands. And then they'll say, what have you been drinking? Say, I just got a Slurpee. See, you see him drunk? I am, like Acts 2. I'm not drunk as you suppose, but I'm just filled with the Holy Ghost. Walk around with optimism, not pessimism. Walk around seeing the glass half full, not half empty. And you'll attract it. I want you to just go ahead and allow me to pray for you at every campus right now. Lean into this prayer right now. I believe that God that gave this word to me today that I'm preaching to you at every campus, that it was for you. That you're at this church today sitting in these seats not by accident. I believe that God's going to cause your unsaved loved ones who need this so bad, that are suicidal and hurting, that they're going to come to a baptism here in a few days, and it's part of a plot that God is going to plot so he can actually receive them into his sheepfold. I hear the Holy Spirit say, this next week will not be anything like last week. This next week is going to be flooded with favor, ideas, opportunities, strength, joy, peace, tranquility, fullness, happiness, no heaviness of heart, but a lightness of heart. I break that spirit of depression. I break that spirit of fear. I break that spirit of strife in your home. And I decree and declare today that we're coming out of the valley, healed, delivered, and strong. And we're going to the mountaintops in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church Podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? An information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword. It'll come up, download it. It's a free app. And right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody, share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.